His eyes rolled up sightlessly in their sockets, and he was breathing fast and light through his open mouth. Christy Roth had managed to slide into a self-induced trance, deliberately putting herself into a coma to take away the overpowering pressures of a Matrans jump. Her breath was shallow and slow, and her heartbeat had dropped to less than a quarter of normal. Ryan Cotter's powers of recovery were astounding. His body was honed to a razored perfection, ready for any threat, but even he suffered badly from the jumps. And to have to make a second jump so soon after the first was devastating. His brain felt as if a high-velocity 44 had entered through his right temple and exited somewhere near the base of his skull, blowing a section of bone away and sucking most of his brains out through the exit wound. Ryan tried to open his eye, but the lancing white light made him close it again immediately. All he wanted to do was to curl up in a ball and lie there on the floor for a few weeks. His fingers were numbed, and his teeth felt loose in the gums. Very cautiously, he eased his eye open again, wincing at the light. This time, he managed to keep it from closing. The walls of the chamber were a dull brown color, and there seemed only a dim light beyond them. The discs in floor and ceiling were already fading, and he could taste the bitterness of iron on his tongue. Ryan glanced around at the others.
Oh, shit.
Christy looked fine, pale and drawn, but clearly under control. As Ryan tried to sit up, she moved, shuddering slightly and opening her eyes. Her tumbled mane of bright red hair was curled tightly about her neck and shoulders. Her hair was sentient and reacted to whatever was going on. Once Christy was recovered from the jump, it would uncurl and fall naturally down her back.
Hi, lover.
Ryan risked a nod.
You?
Been worse. Been better. How about you?
Yeah, same.
Christy looked around.
What in Gaia's name happened, Ryan? The Rusky?
Zimyanyan attacked me during the first jump. We both blacked out. Came around. He got out and slammed the door shut.
And we jumped again. No wonder I feel so lousy. Like a muty rattler's been sleeping in my head for 3 months.
Ryan managed to lever himself up until he was sitting with his back flat against the cold glass wall of the chamber.
I heard a couple of shots as I went under and saw some kind of... something real big. Maybe the Ruskies bought the farm this time.
Guess we'll never know.
What, Jibby?
Well, wouldn't much like having that mean Red Mother hiking around Deathlands after us.
Assuming we're in Deathlands.
Christy sniffed the cool damp air.
Don't much like the smell of this place. Like coming around in the middle of an old buried tomb.
Christy's muty sense picked up on feelings, and Ryan had learned over their months together to trust her.
Danger?
Maybe. Not close. I reckon we should see to Jack and Doc.
The albino boy was showing signs of coming around. His legs moved feebly, like a drowning kitten's, and he struggled to open his pale red eyes. Christy stooped to help him. He sat up unaided and wiped at his smeared face with the sleeve of his fur coat.
We jumped 2 times, or I'd dream it. Oh, my head feels dead inside.
Yeah, we jumped 2 times, Jack. One of the Russians came in with us and then escaped when we made the first jump. He shut the door and sent us off again.
Yeah, fuck him.
Doc doesn't look in fighting shape.
The old man always takes a jump hardest of all. Good job Rick went the way he did. He'd never have made another jump in that kind of shape.
The memory of the man who'd briefly lived, traveled, and fought with him brought a silence. Rick Ginsburg had been what they called a freezy, someone who'd suffered from a serious illness and had been surgically frozen in the last months before the long winters began. Ryan and his friends had been able to revive Rick. Ginsburg had told them about 2 other cryonic centers in the Deathlands, and Ryan's wish was to try to locate one or both. It was possible that the companions would benefit from these Freezy's skills, if more of them could be successfully thawed.
Oh, by the 3 Kennedys, have I been on an alcoholic binge?
You got bloody nose, Doc.
Jack stood up unsteadily, bracing himself with a hand against the wall.
Could be, Sonny. Could be.
Doc touched his lips and peered short-sightedly at his crimson slobbered fingers.
Oh, indeed, you are correct. Tapped the claret, have I not? First blood to Theophilus Algernon Tanner, Esquire. Upon my soul, but I fear that someone has removed my poor head and replaced it with a miniature maelstrom.
Your mouth, Doc?
Yes, my dear friend.
Wipe the blood off of it, then close it.
It took better than half an hour before Ryan was convinced that everyone was well enough to take the chance of opening the heavy door. Previous experiences had quickly taught them the need for extreme caution when moving out into one of the redoubts, hidden fortresses that had been keystones in the defense system of the old United States. Gateways within the redoubts had the capability of transporting human beings instantly from one location to another by means of mat-trans chambers. But the nuclear holocaust of 2001 had destroyed some of the redoubts and buried others. Still more had remained hidden among the glowing hotspots of the Deathlands. Though Ryan and his comrades had made many jumps, they still had found no way of actually controlling their destinations. To use a gateway was, in every sense, to leap into the darkness.
Ready?
They all nodded. The chamber felt dank, and breath misted in the cold air. Everyone kept on the furs they'd acquired during their time in Russia. Zorro was still whimpering, and when put down would huddle against his master. Eventually, Doc picked up the puppy and stuffed him inside his coat.
Ride along with me, little fellow. Though I confess that those who have been close to me have met a sorry end.
Blasters ready?
Ryan held his own Sig Sauer in his right hand. The automatic G-12 Heckler & Koch caseless rifle was slung across his broad shoulders, and the long-bladed panga was sheathed at his belt. Christy, standing next to him, held her silvered 13-shot P7A Heckler & Koch pistol. JB, the armorer, had his trusty Steyr AUG 5.6mm blaster. Jack held his enormous satin-finish 357 Magnum, which looked too big for him to handle. Doc, intent on the dog, left his Lama in its holster.
Let's go.
The door swung open on stiff hinges, revealing a small, bare anteroom. The room beyond that was also closed, and Ryan pushed at it with his hand.
Black dust. That's a corpse stink if ever I smelled it. Long dead and long rotted.
Christy touched Ryan on the arm.
There's bad news out there, lover. I can feel it, real strong, and not far away.
Muties?
Could be.
Air itself tastes dead. Don't relish another jump, but I've been better places than this.
I was once privileged to be present at the opening of the catafalque of some ancient Egyptian priest. Apthak, something rather. I disremember his name. It had been sealed for centuries. This redoubt has much the same odor.
Doc shook his head. The blood had clotted, dark brown, on his grizzled chin, making him look as though he'd been in a fight. He was trembling with fatigue as he stood with the others.
Me first?
Yeah, sure, Jack. Watch your step. Door's real stiff. Could be anything behind it.
The hinges were damaged.
Shit!
The nuke plant that ran every redoubt was still ticking over, somewhere deep in the bowels of the military complex, supplying power and keeping the gateway functioning. Beyond the half-open door, they could make out the same kind of control room that they'd seen in other redoubts. But it was poorly lit, and the smell was growing ever stronger.
Give it a good big push, kid.
Don't call me fucking kid, old man.
Jack set his scrawny shoulder to the paneled metal and braced himself against the concrete floor, gritting his teeth and straining at the task. Ryan took a half step forward to help the boy, but a sideways glance from the crimson feral eyes stopped him dead. Steel grated on stone, and the door moved slowly back, revealing the control area with its familiar banks of chattering comp consoles.
Some of them aren't working. I don't much like the look of that.
Doc followed Jack into the larger room, staring around with an expression of fascinated horror and amazement.
How in tarnation did we make this jump? A pile of rusting scrap like this shouldn't have jumped a fly across 3 inches of tabletop. Half these contacts are blown.
He ran a finger across some of the banks of dead machinery.
Tell you what, my dear companions, if we ever leave here and arrive anywhere safely, it will be the greatest miracle since Teddy's election. Dreadful neglect here.
Hasn't been dusted in the best part of 100 years, Doc.
Christy tapped one of the displays of flickering, fading lights with the barrel of her blaster.
Gaia, damn it. What's that?
Half of the overhead strip lights went dark.
That's double stoop, Christy.
Relax, Ryan. Shit. Looks like your ace on the line, Doc. This place is ready to lie down and die right here in front of us.
Think we should wait here and recover some strength? I got the feeling that whatever's out beyond the main entrance door isn't going to be smiling news.
I think we all got that feeling, JB. Doesn't look like there's any food or water around here. And we're not exactly overloaded.
You want to go out there, lover?
I don't want to. If you got a rock in a hard place, you pick the hard place. Let's move out of here, JB. Take the main door.
Sure.
The armorer moved light-footed between the rows of long abandoned desks toward the heavy double doors that sealed off the Matrans unit from the rest of the redoubt. Stenciled on the wall beside them was the faint message, 352 open, 253 close.
Nothing like a secret code that no son of a bitch can remember. Green lever's down. Lift it and press the buttons.
Here come the discards and the retards. Gentlemen rankers, all out on... Can't recall. Just remember that we were to be damned for all...